Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 21st, the year of our Lord, 2024, and it is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. It's an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. It is a kind of a gray and rainy day out here on Pensacola Beach, but still lovely, a peacefulness about the rain today. So regardless of the weather, let's begin, as is our custom and practice here, to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving. And we start with breathing, by taking in the breath of life, the gift of life. Take it in and hold it, savor it, thank God for it. It's life. And as you breathe, call to mind the people you love most, your favorite place, your favorite book, things that lift your spirit, things for which you are very grateful, maybe seemingly little things or the big things of life, family and children and relationships. All of these good things, it's all a gift. And we thank God for every good and perfect gift. And in this spirit, an awareness of the good things that God gives us, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as found in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast. Just over to the left there, you'll see an icon that says Sermon Notes, and right below there, click on it, tap on that, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Holy God of Israel, ever present and moving among your people, draw us near to you, that in place of hostility there may be peace, in place of loneliness, compassion, in place of aimlessness, direction, and in place of sickness, healing, through Christ Jesus, in whom you draw near to us. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 14a. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent, in a tabernacle. Whenever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, "Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you up from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and among us, with us. And we pray that as we take a moment to reflect on this good word, that you'd open our minds and our hearts. Help us to truly hear what it is you're saying to us as individuals and as a church. We pray that you would save us from distraction and misinterpretation, and bless us with a full sense of your presence here and now. We pray all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, once again we find ourselves in 2 Samuel. Last week we considered the story of the arrival of the Ark of God into the city of David, into Jerusalem. And we focused primarily on the celebration that came with that. David, in particular, his ecstatic celebration, dancing around essentially in his underwear in the street and singing and having the absolute time of his life, the overwhelming joy he felt that the presence of God, this ark, was coming into his city, that they would be host to the presence of God. And his joy was intoxicating. Everyone turned out. The celebration was on. And at the end of the celebration, there were the appropriate sacrifices. And everyone was given a portion of the sacrifice. Some meat and cake and rice and raisins, and given a little parcel to take home. And we reflected a little bit about that too, that they took the community sacrifice and celebration and had a portion of it to take into their homes to celebrate amongst themselves, to have the provision of enough as the result of sacrifices made to the Lord because the presence of the Lord was with them. And so I want to use that imagery to build on what we have here, because David, too, is at home. And this is no ordinary home. This is a beautiful home made of cedar planks. You can imagine he's sitting there, and that wonderful smell of fresh cedar is in the air. And he has a moment of rest. David has been a very busy person his whole life, ever since he was a little boy chasing sheep, to the day when some strange man came and poured oil over his head and told him he'd be king, to the day when he met the man who would be his friend and advisor and mentor in his worst enemy, Saul. Time and time again, victorious in battle, all the things that have been part of David's very, very big and active life. A life he's lived in relationship with God, and now he has a little downtime. And he sits and he reflects and he enjoys this circumstance he's in, but he feels like something's missing. Like God should have a house as nice as his own. And he brings up this question to his trusted advisor, Nathan. And Nathan is clearly not a yes man, but I think the logic of what David is laying out makes sense to Nathan. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan, David. I understand that. You want the presence of God to reside in something as nice as this. That makes sense. Go ahead and go do that thing. God's with you. Well, later, Nathan has some quiet time. And God finds opportunity to speak to Nathan. And he has something that he needs Nathan to tell David. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? When have I ever needed a house? Did I need a house when I liberated you from captivity in Egypt? Did I need a house as we wandered the desert? No, I've been pretty mobile. I'm used to living in a tent. You can tell David this. Mine has been a very active and mobile presence with you. Did I ever say to any of the judges in any of the locations where I have been, as my story among you has played out, have I ever said, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Because if I needed it, I'd ask for it. And we see evidence of this in the scripture. When he needed the ark built, there were very specific instructions. When he needed the tent built or created, there were very specific instructions for the artisans to create these things. When God needs something made, when he needs human intervention to build things on his behalf, God is very specific. So clearly, up until this point, there hasn't been a need for anyone to build any kind of house for God, because this is a God who is on the move. A God who is present, but a God who will not be contained. And he will build something through David, he informs him. He will build something. But what he's going to build is a legacy. It's going to be a land for a people, a safe haven for them. When your days are fulfilled, he tells Nathan to tell David, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, David, when you finally die, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, your line, David, and I will establish his kingdom. There'll be a house built. There'll be a beautiful temple built. But there'll be a people. And there will be a line of kings. And we know how that goes. But there'll be something even more. The presence of God will always be with them. Let's pause for a moment. Nathan, the trusted advisor, taking in these thoughts into his mind, these words of God, and he knows he has to relay them to David. David, I thought the project that you had in mind was going to be a great idea, but I have received word from God as to how this should go. This is not your building project. God is building something, and yours is to be faithful and obedient and to let God do what God is going to do. Let God build what God is going to build. And certainly, those of us who have been around church for any length of time can find some connections here about our desires to build a beautiful house for God to reside in. The house of God. We refer to our churches as God's houses. Our sanctuary spaces are beautiful because we want to invite God into something that is as nice as we can make it. But how many times have we heard stories of churches that perhaps get ahead of themselves? Get so fixated on the buildings and the furnishings and the finishes that becomes the focus. And as an adage goes, the more you have, the more you need to take care of. And church budgets build and get bloated in service to these facilities. That's true of so many churches right now. And this is not a sermon against beautiful church buildings. I love beautiful church buildings, and they are places that can really open us up to the presence of God. But the gift of the church house is for us. That sometimes our desire to have things just so, polished just right, painted in a certain way, made of a certain kind of wood, those are all kind of pleasant, nice, aesthetic design decisions. They have no bearing on the holiness of the space. No bearing on its sacredness. I want to go back to the portions that were given to each one at the end of the day of the celebration of the arrival of the ark. Those portions likely went home to some very humble dwellings. And carried with them, I believe, the presence of God. And that the house that God promises David is a dynasty of faith. I mean, after a certain amount of years, after a couple centuries, I think, the Davidic line is gone. The people are taken off into exile. And they have to search for hope about how these promises will then be fulfilled. Messianic hope, the hope of salvation. Who will revive and resurrect the promises of God? We go back to verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." As Christians, we can find root for our messianic hope here. A people in exile wondering what would happen next, who are eventually liberated from that captivity as well and find themselves in an opportunity to return home. And generation upon generation, they wait and they pray and they hope. They try to physically rebuild the house that had been built, Solomon's temple. And then one day, there is a baby born from the line in the house of David to a woman named Mary and a man named Joseph. His name is Jesus. And he comes. He comes animated with the full life of God. He comes in the line of David, but he comes as David perfected, sinless, fully an expression of God's own heart. And he establishes a house, the church, the body of Christ. And he offers a sacrifice and invites us to take it into our homes and into our worship spaces. He breaks bread and pours a cup and tells his followers that it is for them, his very flesh and blood, his life given to them, to take into themselves so that there could be an unbreakable covenant between the two. An unshakable house built in the presence of God. And so no matter what our worship spaces look like, as long as the presence of God is celebrated in them, if they are grand and well-polished and well-finished, whether the mortgages have been paid or not, whether that is in a place called a church or a church that meets in a church, in a school gymnasium, or a church that forms in a clandestine way in somebody's house under some oppressive regime, God will build God's house always. Wherever people gather in the name of God, God will dwell among them. And this promise of dynasty and legacy is fulfilled. And it is remarkably humbling, beautiful, and eternal good news. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Rachel and Sarah, and Naomi and Ruth, God of Saul and David and Solomon, God of Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is to you that we pray. And we confess, O God, that there are so many times we try to run out ahead of you or run away from you. We imagine our ways are your ways. We sin, we fall short, and we take this moment, O God, to confess these things to you and pray to receive the gifts of our faith, that when we do confess these things to you, you forgive us and you put us back on the path. And you encourage us and call us into your presence. We thank you for all of it. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand. We thank you for our sacred stories. We thank you for our prayers and our hymns, our rituals and our sacraments. And we pray, O God, that you will be with us in all things. We thank you for all good things, the things that challenge us, the things that inspire us, the things that break our hearts, and the things that cause us to dance, the things that inspire us to pray. And so we pray. We find our list seems to get longer and longer. But we pray, God, for the people who find themselves in positions of power and strength and influence. I pray, O God, that you would inspire them to be agents of your grace and peace. And for those who find themselves on the other end of the social order, those who sometimes feel invisible, those who feel that all of their hard work is in vain, those who might feel forgotten, we pray, O God, that you will come close to each and every heart and anoint it with hope and peace and love and joy. And each one of us, God, has our own prayer list. We have people in our lives that are hurting. We have opportunities coming up that we pray that you will be a part of, that you will bless us with enough, that you will bless us with your kind of prosperity. But yes, we have these prayer lists. And we ask that if we humble ourselves and we share these lists with you, if we just get quiet, if we don't speak a word, O God, but simply hand you our petitions of prayers, our hopes, dreams, aspirations, our prayers, that you'll consider them and that you will answer them in your way. Join us here, we pray, in this sacred silent space. We break our silence. We thank you again for your presence here with us. We pray that you will hear us as we celebrate a gift of our faith, a prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we move on from this time together, I pray that we will do so inspired and more keenly aware of what God is building in our lives, building for us, for our communities, and building for the next generation, anointing us all with hope in God's presence. Our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is indeed with us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.